Kyle Dubas presser. Kristen, welcome, and how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Jim. How are you?
Good, thanks. In terms of your takeaways, there are a couple things there I circled. I'd love your take on what you heard.
Just in general, I guess the biggest conversation was about Zach Hyman and the news today about him talking with the Edmonton Oilers, and just Kyle Dubas saying that he hasn't heard anything from Todd Reynolds, Zach Hyman's agent, on where that conversation stands right now. He doesn't really have any more insight, it sounds like, than we do, just that he's obviously in conversation with the Oilers and is exploring his options, which is what Dubas said the Leafs wanted him to do, just get a feel for the market, move that process along for him, and then potentially give the Leafs a little more time to figure out how they're going to potentially replace Hyman in the coming season and beyond. But of course, Dubas was, you know, quick to say that we wanted to keep him. We just have certain limitations, as we all know the Leafs do, when it comes to the salary cap. So it really just comes down to, you know, he at this point just doesn't know any more than, you know, he did yesterday, I suppose the best way to put it, about whether, you know, these reports coming out of Edmonton indicate that Hyman is going or gone or whatever it is, or if there's going to be a sign-in trade. Dubas said he's open to it. So a lot to kind of unpack there about Hyman. And then just, I thought the other thing, you know, we talked about it so much in the last week about why the Leafs would protect Justin Hall and acquired Jared McCann to avoid potentially losing a key forward in either, you know, or essentially as an insurance policy against losing Alex Kerfoot. Just to hear Dubas, you know, kind of explain and really, I would say, almost co-sign what we've been saying about why protecting Hall was so important. It's because at a $2 million cap hit for a top four right-handed defenseman, if they lost him, where could they replace him at that cap hit? And they just did not see that as being possible. So that's why ultimately Justin Hall was protected. So that's really what I took away mainly from what Dubas was saying, that it's this is just halfway through. You know, you're sort of midway through surgery at this point, and things that are happening, there's still a lot more that has to be figured out before the Leafs roster for next season really comes together.
Yeah, I like the Hall stuff. It's and he brought up the term replacement cost, which is something that most people, when they're analyzing the Leafs, don't get into. It. You know, there's a lot of, you know, this guy can go, and or this, the departure of this guy opens up this cap space, but, you know, where do you spend it, and what, you know, the specific fit on the cap is, what's the replacement cost, which is a real business term, but it is totally relevant here, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's any question for every GM in the league when they were putting their protected list together. Of course, you have to think, okay, who is most likely to be gone? You know, what are the Kraken going to be looking at? And then how am I going to replace what this player does? And the replacement cost is always what you have to think about in any business. If you lose anything, that's of value. And in this instance, with a player, it's so difficult, because on the open market, you might say, oh, well, you know, you could go sign X defenseman, you know, he'll be available, but does he want to play here? Does he want the kind of contract you can offer, the term, the dollars? It's one thing to say, oh, this person has the talent or the ability, and that's great, but there's so many other factors that go into replacing a player. And when you already have a guy who likes playing here and has a good contract and the term is favorable, and he's a big defenseman, it plays a role that you don't have behind him in the organization, the replacement cost is just, it's so high. And even if you try to say, well, you could spend a little more of the cap on, you know, that position, well, why would you when you already have something you like and you have the ability to protect it? So I have said all along that I understand. I understand it from both sides. I see why people are frustrated, but I also see it from Dubas's perspective that where the Leafs would have found Justin Hall's replacement at $2 million a year, I don't really see it out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the other situation, the Zach Hyman situation, and again, I always preface anything I say about this is it has nothing to do with Zach. Zach is entitled to market value, and that could be driven by need on another franchise. But it appears that when you go through the reports, that if the offer was similar between Edmonton and Toronto, let's say, that the difference might be that the Toronto 8-year term would be slightly different because they're going to use that 8 years to lower the average, and it looks like Edmonton would be a better fit money-wise for him that way. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of the business aspect of this as well, is that it comes down to, on every contract, what's the term, what's the dollars? And it's got to be, there's got to be a synergy there for the player. And it's also about, where do you want to play? What's the opportunity? But just purely looking at the dollars and cents of it all, I mean, yeah, there's an advantage to the 8-year contract for the player and for the team. I just don't see how anyone is considering giving Zach Hyman, a 29 years old, who plays the game as hard as he does, who has dealt with significant injuries the last 3 years, who is going all in on a full-term 8-year deal. It's just, it doesn't make good business sense in the long term, because whether it's this GM or another, someone's going to have to deal with it down the road, right? Like, it's just a tough spot, I think, for that. And we see it all the time. We see players who sign 8-year deals and they look great at the time, and they are for a couple of years, and then there's 5 or 6 seasons sometimes in the worst cases where things just don't go the way that anybody hoped that they would. So you have to be strategic as the player and as the team signing him in these situations. And if Zach Hyman goes to Edmonton and he gets a 7-year deal, and that's, you know, what ultimately works for him and his family, Dubas was the first one to say he's earned it. He's earned every dollar he's going to get on the open market. He's spent 6 years here, you know, working to be in the position that he is right now. And for him, what he values, obviously, is there's a list for every player of what is most important and what they most need. And only Hyman knows what that is for him. But I would think that at this point, he's just got to be A, exploring his options, and B, feel open to the best possible term and dollars figure that he can get. And that may very well be Edmonton.
Now, you and I have talked about this, and Kyle admitted the goalie search is going to be tricky, and it's very high on his radar, and maybe Freddie comes back. Don't know exactly what happens there, but this is another tricky situation in terms of cap fit and player fit, isn't it?
It is, but I think that's going to be the case for most things that the Leafs are looking at going into free agency this year, because do you want to trade for a goalie, or do you want to sign one on the open market? Is there something available there that you feel confident in, and bringing in kind of a new body? I mean, Dubas said that there's still conversations happening with Frederik Andersen's camp. Certainly that door is not closed, but it, from all indications we've heard so far, Andersen's probably looking for something higher dollar-wise than the Leafs are able to offer him. So that pushes you into the free agent market. Do you see somebody there who can, as Dubas just said, come in and essentially challenge Jack Campbell for that starter's job? Do you see that potential out there in someone? And if Campbell wins the starting job, will the player that you've acquired be a good partner for him? Will he be, you know, supportive and someone that you can rely on in the dressing room to have that strong goalie tandem? Every good team has that. You know, you need the piece who is obviously your number one, your guy, and then you need the support system as well. So it's tricky when you don't have a lot of money to spend, especially on a goaltending position, and when your 5-year starter in Andersen is still hoping to be paid like he's going to be a starter for the next 5+ years. And so that's a bit of a spot that the Leafs find themselves in. But we know that there are some goalies on the market. We know that obviously they're going to do their due diligence, but Dubas said, hey, if we don't see it on the open market, that's when you go into a trade situation. And they do have some players that might be of interest that they could dangle out there and say, hey, you know, we like this goalie, you need a defenseman, we've got, you know, X, Y, and Z here. And that may be the path that they go down, but it's all just wrapped up in, you've got this very limited dollars to spend, and how are you going to make the most of them, whether that's upfront, goalie, defense, whatever it is. How do you maximize a very small amount of cap space remaining?
Kristen, thanks very much. Look forward to sharing the show with you tomorrow.
As do I, Jim. Talk to you then.